ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Can we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you because we have come to hear, we have come to receive. Function through my faculties right now and cause blessings to flow to your people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, Brother Hagin will say one time, let's open to our first page of the scripture. Where we'll start from there. And then where we'll end, he said, nobody knows. But somehow we'll end, and I will not take your time. I want to really thank you, sir, for believing in Rema like you do. You talked about Rema boldly from your pulpit, and then we appreciate that. I will take everything that I've seen back to my national director, Reverend Tokumbo Adejuwon. Precious man of God. I'm sure he's been here before. Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for receiving us. Acts chapter 6. When I finish, you give a title to the message. Amen. From verse 1. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. When you hear daily ministration, you may think they're ministering the baptism in the Holy Spirit or they're ministering healing. That is not what they're talking about. It's food. Food, giving rice, beans, bush meat, and all that. That is what they're talking about. And then the Grecians, how did the Greeks come to Jerusalem? I thought we should be talking about Jews and Hebrews, same people, but the Grecians and the Hebrews. How did the Grecians come to Jerusalem? Well, if you have, as at the very time of Jesus, when Jesus came in his first advent, the Roman Empire ruled the whole of the area that is called Palestine, and that was because the Roman Empire was the one in place at that time. And you hear names like centurions and so on and so forth in the Bible. Those are Roman soldiers. And you hear expressions like legions. At the time, Paul even claimed that he was a Roman. You remember? Then after the Roman Empire, you have the Grecian Empire. The Roman Empire brought about development of roads and all that, so easy movement came. But the Greeks came with one singular language, Greek. And on that, during that time, we had the old Hebrew, Old Testament Hebrew, translated into Greek at that time. So the singular language that was brought in was Greek. So it was possible that both the empire and their colonies if you may put it that way, people could move around easily, and he made it easy for the gospel to be preached. Paul spoke even the classical Greek at that time too, because he was learned. So it was easier to take the gospel from place to place. So you had Greeks moving around in all the empire, the domain of that kingdom, the Roman Empire, and they could settle anywhere because you felt at home everywhere. So in Jerusalem, you had a lot of Greeks that came in there. So the Greeks and the Hebrews were now having a problem. There was a murmuring. And what was the murmuring about? About daily ministration, because the widows were neglected in daily ministration. And then, but Peter said something. Then the 12, of course, Peter representing them, called a multitude of disciples unto them, said, it is not reason, doesn't make sense, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Remember, he called it business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayers and to the ministry of the word. So what I actually want to talk about is the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word. What is the ministry of the word? But before I go there are truths to glean from this passage. Did you notice here that the Bible paints clearly here that there is the spiritual side of ministry, and then there is the business side of ministry. There is the spiritual side of ministry, then there is the business side of ministry. The church was not having problems because the spiritual side of ministry was neglected. It was when the business side of ministry was neglected that murmuring started. That is one fact to state. And then what was the response of the church? Did they say, oh, all the people causing trouble are babies in Christ? That was not their response. They responded in such a way that the murmuring stopped. The church responded in such a way that the murmuring stopped. How did they respond? Let's speak about 7 food prefects. Yeah, food prefect. It's not food that is the problem. Let's tackle it. 7 people. Honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. We'll put them over this business. But Peter was clear about it in verse 2. It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table. One truth to glean is in verse 4. In those days, when pastors are asked, what do you do for a living? They say, no, I don't do anything. I preach once in a while, maybe once in a week, I don't know, Sunday morning. But anytime you need me, I'm available. But Peter knew his job description. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So I line them up like this, that as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, called of God, our job description is very clear. Number 1, the ministry of the word. Number 2, giving ourselves continually to prayers. Every other thing can now come in number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, 8, 9, 10. But no, our number 1 and number 2 is the ministry of the word, and then giving ourselves continually to prayers. So next time when they ask you, what do you do? Somebody, a civil servant, went to his own office. Gisted, ate granite, gisted, and went for lunch. Came back home at 4 p.m. and he's looking down on a pastor that the pastor has no work. And the pastor accepted that he has no work. But yet, the Bible declares that there is a job description. We have work. Prayer is work. As a prayer is work. The ministry of the word is A lot of work. A lot of work. So let's make an attempt this morning. I don't know how many hours I have to preach. I'm joking. I know you don't have hours. This is Lagos. So you don't have hours. So maybe the next 30 minutes. Is that okay? The ministry of the word. Paul exemplifies this ministry for me. So what I have learned from Paul, I want to share with you. In Acts chapter 19, verse 20. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. How did that happen? How did that happen? Come to verse 8. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10. And these continued for by the space of 2 years. Paul stayed in that place for 2 years. And the Bible says, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So the only way the word of God prevails is when that word of God prevails in the lives of people. If we like, we could hold all night prayers and begin to cast imaginary strongholds that are keeping people away from God until we follow it up, putting out God's word to the people, we are not doing the real work yet. If there are 100 people in Lagos and 100 of them said yes to Jesus, and that means they can't say yes to Satan anymore. It means Satan has lost Lagos. I'm not hearing you. If there are 100 people, all of them said yes to Jesus, which means they have said no to the devil, it means Satan has lost Lagos. When Satan suggests anything to these 100 people, they will say no. If you tell them turn to the left, they say no. Jesus told us to turn to the right. He has lost Lagos. So the only way we actually take over a place is through the ministry of the word. It's through the ministry of... He said the whole of Asia heard the word of God that Paul preached. And I wanted to look at what was Paul preaching so that we also can be preaching the same thing. What was he preaching that represents God's word? In Galatians chapter 1 from verse 11, Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to give you an assignment. It seemed to me, every single time that it has to do with God's word and revelation, Jesus is the one that is responsible for himself. When he wants to channel those insights and bring the revelation of God's word to us, he takes charge himself. I have done a research around. That's why I say I'm giving you an assignment to do the same. Brother Hagin taught us to pray. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. All of our students know about that. And then he said he prayed that prayer probably 10,000 times for himself. And he will be praying from Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 16. It says not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of glory, may give unto you spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, amplified, say, flooded with light, that we may know what? The hope of his calling, number one, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, number three, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now that goes from 16 to 19. And he said he prayed this prayer probably for himself 10,000 times. The spirit that God will give unto me, Joseph Okpanachi, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he said, all of a sudden, he came to visions and revelations. All of a sudden, he broke into it. The portals of heaven opened unto him. And heaven began to download unto him mysteries, the mysteries of the kingdom. One of those ways that he started receiving was that Jesus Christ, at least two or three times, Jesus walked into, one was in a hospital room. Jesus walked in, pulled a chair, sit down, crossed his leg, and talked to Brother Hagin for 90 minutes. And he said, I've come to teach you how to be led by the Spirit. Jesus taught Brother Hagin how to be led by the Spirit. In another encounter, he said, I've come to teach you on the origin of Satan, demons, how they influence people, and how to deal with them. Word for word from the very lips of Jesus. He didn't send an angel. He came himself to teach truth, teach revelation, and to bring insight. And the same thing happened to Paul. Paul said, I received these things that I preach, not from any man. I wasn't taught by any man. I received those things that I teach by the revelation of Jesus himself. Take, for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 6, 1. Paul said, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints. Verse 2. Paul is daring you. He said, do you not know? So there is something to know. Anytime you read, do you not know? There is something to know there. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge smallest matters? And you think that he has said enough to you, then in verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Excuse me. How did Paul know that? By revelation. I don't know how you are feeling on your seat right now, that you will judge angels. I'm sure you are feeling cool now. It's nice. I mean, we will judge angels. We will judge them. We will judge angels. Wow. How did Paul know? How did Paul know? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, nobody taught me. Jesus taught me himself. Matthew wrote about the communion table. But he didn't write about the communion table. He didn't have the insight that Paul had. Matthew was at the table himself and didn't know the mysteries about that table like Paul, who was not there. So in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul began to teach on the communion table. For instance, 1 Corinthians 11, from 29, it said something unique, something from verse 29. For he that eateth, drinketh, and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Peter didn't tell us about this. And then Paul said, for this cause of not discerning the Lord's body, Amplified said, not recognizing and distinguishing that this bread is the body of Christ broken for you, and that this blood was the blood of Christ shed for you, approaching this table anyhow, irreverently, is rejected by heaven. He said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly, and many die untimely death. You know, we have never preached it, that people, believers, could die, could suffer untimely death because of the communion table. You know that what it means is this: it is not possible for me, as a minister of the gospel, called of God, if I serve a communion table to an occultic man, he won't survive it. But I have to know what I am doing. Sinners are not even supposed to partake of this table, because they have no part or lot with Christ. But we didn't know so much of that. It was Paul that told us that you could be guilty of the body and of the blood of Jesus. We never knew that. Matthew only said told us how that Jesus took bread, broke it, gave them the eight, he gave them cup, they also drank, and then they sang hymns and left. But Paul came to us. Paul, who was not at the table. I don't know whether you are... Are you getting anything out of this discussion this morning? We're talking about the ministry of the word. Paul, who was not at the table at all himself, knew about the table more than Matthew and co, who were at the table. More than Peter, who was at the table. How did Paul know? By the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote about 13 or 14 books of the New Testament. The reason we say 13 or 14, we could have just said 14. All theologians agree that they do not know who was the writer of the book of Hebrews. But thank God, one of the encounters that the Lord Jesus had with Hagin, Hagin had a presence of mind to ask. And he asked the Lord, Lord, who wrote the book of Hebrews? And Jesus told Brother Hagin that it was Paul. So Paul wrote 14 books out of the 27 books of the New Testament. Why? Because a lot was downloaded to him from heaven. Are you listening to me? Truths like new creation realities. Truths like being the righteousness of God in Christ. All those spiritual verities and truths loaded up in the New Testament. Jesus brought it to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 6. Still talking about the ministry of the word. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Let me ask you a few questions. Are we able ministers of both the Old and the New Testament? I'm asking questions. I need your answer. Are we able ministers of both new and old? We're able ministers of which of the testaments? Of the New Testament. What does that mean? We ought to major on the revelations of the New Testament in such a way that we can now use our insight of the revelation of the New Testament truths to interpret the Old Testament. Not that we will go and be studying the Old Testament and use it to interpret New Testament. No. 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 If there is any, if you are going to study, you see, for you to say that you are studying your Bible, study the epistles. Bury yourself in the epistles. Become an authority in the New Testament. Then you are set to go places for God. There's a difference between the Republican Constitution of 1963 and 1999 Constitution as amended. There's a difference. There's a difference. One has become obsolete. There is one that you can no longer be quoting in court today. If you come to court today and say, according to 1963 Constitution, the judge says, excuse me, which school did this one go? There could be similarities in both constitutions. Okay? But it's just that all the good that was in 1963 is now in 1999 and much more. That's what we have now. So the Old Testament is good. It's a good testament. But we have a better. Hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. We have a better. Why abandon the better for the good? Why mastering the good at the expense of the better? Don't you know that the whole of the entire scriptures hang around Jesus? The totality of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is around Jesus. If that is where you study your Bible, you will understand it better. The whole of the Bible is talking about Jesus. Something happened in Luke chapter 24. Maybe 24, 27. Before this verse, two fellows were on their way to Emmaus. And they were discussing about the things that had happened in Jerusalem at the weekend. And one said, what happened? He said, is that Jesus Christ? You know, the man was crucified. They killed him. We thought he is the one that should have brought salvation to the Jews. But they killed him. Then Jesus joined their company. There were now three people discussing. Somewhere there, he said, oh, ye fools, slow at heart to understand. Ought not Christ to have suffered all these things and enter into his glory? Then the Bible said, Bible brought us to verse 27. And beginning at Moses, what does Moses represent? The law. What is the law? Technically speaking, if you said the law, you may be referring to the first five books of the Bible. But in a way, again, the law means the entire Old Testament. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, 1 Corinthians 14, 21, Paul was talking about speaking with tongues, and he was supporting it with what was written in the Old Testament. And he said, in the law, it is written. And he was actually quoting from Isaiah 28. And he was calling Isaiah 28 the law. In the law, it is written. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. And yet for all that, will they not hear me, saith the Lord. He was quoting from Isaiah 28:12. And he called that in the law. In the law. But specifically speaking, when we say the law, we are referring to the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We refer to that as the law. That is the law. So when if you go back to our scripture now, Luke 24. Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses, all the five books of Moses. He went through all the five. Jesus went through all the five books of Moses. He didn't stop there. And all the prophets. Who was the first prophet of Israel? Samuel. Samuel was the first prophet of Israel. So from 1 Samuel all the way till Malachi, he expounded unto them unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You can see the entire Bible is about Jesus. So if you have read Genesis and you didn't see Jesus, you haven't read it yet. If you read Exodus and all you heard was the plagues in Egypt, Moses showed them, say God, they use them. If that is all you saw in Exodus, you have not read yet. Unfortunately, the CD of this teaching is not available. This exposition, he expounded unto them, beginning from Moses, and then all the prophets concerning himself. You know, that time, when you talk about scriptures, the only thing that was available was the Old Testament. Because the New Testament was written between AD 50 and AD 100. I'm talking about writing, not the reading. So people started reading it after that one, after it was canonized. So we didn't even have the New Testament when all these actors were around. So the only one that was available, even at the time of Jesus and all the apostles, was the Old Testament. So every time you hear them talk about scriptures, they were referring to the Old Testament. And that was what they were reading in the temple anyway. So Jesus came, remember when he came into the temple in Luke chapter 4? And the book was opened. He read the place that had to do with himself. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he remembered that. So my Bible study changed. The way I studied my Bible changed. Protocol must be observed. You do not recognize the vice president before you recognize the president in an occasion. Why are you shouting about Abraham when greater than Abraham is here? What is all this shout about Solomon, 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 when Jesus has arrived? Moses, Moses, Moses. Jesus is here, you are talking about Moses. Talking about Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my days. If you see him, ask him. The people say you are not even up to 50 years old and you are talking. He saw my days, he rejoiced. Should I alert you people that Abraham paid tithe to me as Melchizedek? You say I'm not up to 50. How did he pay tithe to me? You go and study about Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews. No beginning of days, no end of life. No descent, no father, no mother. Made like unto the Son of God. I collected Abraham's tithe. Pocketed it. Greater than Abraham. So when Jesus showed up, we were supposed to now shut down. Abraham, we thank God for your life. Just sit down, just sit down. Moses, you have tried. Especially what you did in Egypt. God used you. God used you. You may now take your seat. The greater one has come. What is his name?
Jesus.
The greater one has come. Let all our studies be around this area. And we will grow in the knowledge of God. Amen. We will find ourselves growing ceaselessly in the knowledge of God. One of the things that the herbs that I got is Matthew 1:18 said something. It left me thinking. So I needed to do some finding. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. Who is the one talking? Jesus. I thought Moses saw God. The numerous uno is the one talking. No man. Moses couldn't raise his hand after Jesus said this one. He didn't he couldn't raise his hand. Excuse me, I saw God. Why are you talking? He said, no man had seen God at any time. So anybody that is telling you he saw God, he saw the similitude of God. He didn't see God. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, is the one that has declared him. And I found out that Jesus was not always called the Son of God. It is redemption that made him the Son of God. First John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word. Not the Son, the Word. And these three, listen, are one. That is something else again. The three are one. Not that one is higher than the other, but the three are one. Wow. Wow. What does it mean the three are one? All the omnis that pertain to the Father also pertain to the Son. And to the Holy Ghost. All the omnis. That is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, is not just exclusively that of the Father. Jesus is also like that. The Holy Ghost is also like that. They are all co-equal, all co-eternal. All co-equal, co-eternal. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. What is the beginning? There's a verse that is like unto this. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. And then in the beginning, the Word. So if you can find out when the Father God began, we can also trace when Jesus began. So we can say to both of them, in the eternal past, the Father was. In the eternal past, the Word was. Wow. He didn't stop there. He said, and the Word was with God in purpose, with God in thoughts, with God in creation. So much. Verse 3 said, all things were made by him. And without him, with the Father there, without him was nothing made that was made. And the Father was there. So who is Jesus? We are not through with verse 1. He said, and the Word was God. Amplified said, and the Word was God himself. Now you know that I didn't write it. Look at it. The Word was God himself. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Can I talk to you a little bit? Jesus, both in heaven and on earth, created visible things. He also created invisible things. There are some invisible beings that are on earth. We will know them later, but they are here. Some invisible beings, not just angels. There are other invisible things he has created that are on earth. They are not, it is not none of your business that you should see them. That is why he made them invisible to you, but they are here. There are forces here that are invisible, but they work for you. Then he said, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, listen, all things were created by him and for him. So where is the place of the Father? All things created. And then he said, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18. And he is the head of the church, of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Preeminence means he's the main man. And then you are wondering, the Father must be getting angry at this time. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father. I'm not hearing you. Before you quarrel for the Father, as a human rights activist, you are saying, no, it's not fair. The Father, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So the Father is satisfied. He's pleased about it. But something will happen. There is a program of events. Something will happen. It will continue like this. Don't forget, he was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Then he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And the Bible says, being found in fashion as a man, the moment he discovered that he had dropped from deity to humanity, the next thing, he humbled himself. He said, this is the time for me to humble myself. I can't do the things I used to do anymore. I am a dependent now. I will have to depend on the Holy Spirit to anoint me. If not, I don't have power. I do not know everything the way I used to know anymore. What a sacrifice. I say, what a sacrifice. If not you, you go step down. to step down. Think about it. It's not easy. It wasn't easy. Then God had highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, see, look at it. All things, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. E.W. Kenyon said that it seemed, and I'm glad I saw his picture in the office. He said it seemed that there was a name reserved in heaven waiting for someone that will qualify for it. Without thinking of the person of Jesus, this name already was ordained to be a name above all names. It was already ordained that at the mention of this name, every knee should bow of beings in the three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell. And that at the mention of this name, every knee must bow. Then Jesus qualified to inherit that name. He actually inherited the name. I say Jesus inherited the name. If he inherited it, he didn't always have it. Hebrews 1:4. He inherited the name. A name that was there. God hallowed that name. Put so much in that name. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Thank you, Jesus. Are we seeing Jesus clearer? I'm not hearing you. Are we seeing him clearer? Yes, he's coming out clearer. It's coming out clearer. It's coming out clearer. God gave him a name. Oh, my time is gone. I'll continue from here when I come back again to Lagos. May the Lord be with you all. Truly, my time is gone. I apologize. My time is gone. Except there is an order that will keep me back here. If not, I have finished. Thank you very much.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,